Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you for joining us for the Village Celebration podcast. President Trump is waving the latest unemployment numbers at every opportunity in tweets and most recently at the State of the Union. He is especially boastful about unemployment numbers in our community, the African-American community, which stands at 6.8%, and that's the lowest since the government started tracking the numbers in 1972. Joining us now for a look behind those statistics is Ron Busby, the president of the U.S. Black Chambers. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What is the real story?
There's always numbers, and I think as your audience and your listeners will attest to, numbers can be manipulated. It's ironic that this same Donald Trump, when he was running for office, he discussed the numbers as it related to our past president, President Obama, to discuss that, numbers can be manipulated. The facts of the matter is, though, that unemployment is one thing. Underemployment is something totally different. And those African Americans that have just given up on looking is another thing. At the U.S. Black Chamber, we really look at wealth as opposed to employment. We as a community know that at one time we were all employed as slaves. But most importantly, do we have the standard of living as our white peers? Can we afford to be able to still work our way out of poverty? And the facts are just different. We're still looking for some of the details that President Trump has discussed in his policy and in the layout of his State of the Union, and that still has not been discussed. But what we do know is that when President Obama was in office, he actually moved the needle from a 16.8% unemployment for African Americans down to 7.8%. Under this current administration, that number has still continued to decrease in reference to unemployment for African Americans, but it's only down 1% from 7.8% in 2016 to 6.8%, where it is currently today. But if you ask the average African American, as I get a chance to go around the country, they will still say, I'm the working poor. I'm working full time and I'm still making less than $24,000. I'm working two jobs to make the same living income as I did under the previous administration or prior to the recession. So employment is great. And I commend both President Trump for keeping the pace. But more importantly, I want to make sure that African Americans story is being told from an accurate perspective. As a black woman, you're earning a lot less than your white peers. Mm-hmm. As an African-American man, I know I'm earning less than 70% of the same dollar that my white peers earn.
And one of the distinctions that you made also is that this trend towards lower unemployment actually began during President Obama's administration. And that's a distinction that we're not hearing.
Yeah, very much so. Again, it dropped 9 points during the 8 years that he was in the office. And that does not happen easily, nor does it happen overnight. And so just as quickly as the corner turns for unemployment, it has the same effect as it goes the other way. So this administration is getting the benefit of a lot of work that was done in the previous administration. I think that the details are still out in reference to the average income. We have heard the wealth gap number continuing to get wider as opposed to getting smaller. The statistics have come and shown that average African Americans' wealth is less than $4,500 combined for a household of four versus that of a white family where we're looking at above $150,000 to $160,000 of wealth. So being employed is great, and we want to make sure that our community has employment opportunities, but we also want to make sure that they have opportunities to be able to earn, to save, and prepare for the future. At the U.S. Black Chamber, we have also seen that the opportunity for entrepreneurship has increased. We started a program of Hire One, so we also understand that many of our small businesses are now hiring one additional African American. We know that in our community right now that there's over 2 million unemployed African Americans every morning looking for work. Mm-hmm. But we also know that there's over 2 million African American owned businesses that are also have the opportunity to grow, prosper, and to be able to hire. So we're looking at it in the same vein, but we want to make sure that our communities are not just working, but they're earning and gaining wealth, because we understand that during the recession, we got hit the hardest, and we're still trying to dig ourselves out of those holes.
And so while the numbers are low, 6.8%, whereas the overall unemployment rate for the nation is 4.1%, you're saying the quality of life still needs great improvement. The
most
disparity
definitely.
In the quality of life, standard of living.
Yeah, this administration will tout numbers that make itself look good, but if you talk to the average African-American that is working as well as looking for work, they will tell you it's getting more difficult to find jobs. It's getting more difficult in this new economy to find labor jobs. As we move into a tech environment, it is even going to be that much more difficult. There are things that are happening behind the scenes that is going to make the future of work even that much more challenging for African-Americans. If you notice, the census is coming out in a couple of years, the 2020 census, and we have to be diligent about ensuring that we participate to the highest level because many African-Americans have just stopped looking for work.
Now, let's look at that census conversation because I've heard that there is an effort to eliminate the categorization based on ethnicity.
Yeah, and that's a concern of the U.S. Black Chamber as well as many minority organizations and business owners across the country because currently the government has a mandate to spend a certain percentage, or at least they try to account for a percentage of their spend with minority firms. We know that most minority firms, especially African-American firms, got much of their start and success by working with and through government contract opportunities. We also know that most minority firms hire minorities from the same communities. And so when those opportunities start to move away because mm-hmm. the government is no longer counting those minority contract dollars that are being spent, it starts to happen in the government sector and then it eventually goes to the private sector. We cannot stand by and let that happen because we know that much of our wealth, much of our growth came from government contract opportunities, and this administration is trying to diminish the accountability of being able to determine whether or not you're a Black, Asian, Hispanic, woman-owned firm and just count large firm spend versus small firm spend.
So let me make sure I'm understanding, Ron. On the census where it asks you to identify Black, Asian, Hispanic, the government is considering eliminating that box. So then
correct.
This fundamental benchmark that's used to calculate the percentages of minorities in the country is at risk of being just eliminated?
Eliminated.
So how
eliminated
will we
altogether.
Know what percentage of the population is Black, what percentage is Hispanic, what percentage is Asian, and why would the government wish to eliminate that type of data, which often is the starting point for conversations about disparities, but also progress?
I think for the last 20 or so years, we have been talking about the browning of America. And typically it's been a conversation that we as brown and Black people are prideful of. But you also have to understand that if I'm in the majority community, if I'm a white person, and all of a sudden all of the programs are going towards the minority firms, mm-hmm. that is going to put me at a disadvantage.
Okay, let me stop you right
there.
So the thing to do is just not have a count of minorities?
Well, if I'm the majority organization and I know at some point in time in the future that I'm going to be considered that minority and mm-hmm. the contract numbers are going away in my benefit, then I'm going to try to level the playing field for myself in the future while I still have the majority. I want people to understand this is not just for the average person. So on the census for individuals, you will still check a box
okay.
for your minority status.
Okay.
From the business perspective, when they're counting business ownership, business acumen will be discussed in reference to ownership, and that's where we stand in the gap saying, no, we cannot allow that to happen. There's a program now that is called the 8A program. It's a program in the SBA that's set aside specifically for minority firms. And many African-American minority firms have gained a great deal of wealth through these programs. these are the types of programs that are being eliminated as we sit here today, and they start by taking away the accountability and the measurements of minority-owned firms. If you take that away,
I see,
then you no longer have the ability or the accountability of being able to count or have accountability for doing business with those firms. What this administration wants to do is just count large businesses versus small businesses. And we know in our community that 99.9% of our firms are still going to be considered small businesses.
Well, we are in Black History Month. Any insights you'd like to share? Your favorite?
Sure, sure. For the U.S. Black Chamber, we want to call our community to action. And I think from a leadership perspective, what we can do for our communities across the country is give people a roadmap. So during the course of the next 5 months, we will be doing our own research, our own study, and we will come out with a report in July at our national conference that will lay out the 25 things that most African Americans spend their dollars on, including mortgages, cars and automobiles, internet uses, the things that we spend our dollars on each and every month. And what we will do is we will lay out, here are the Black-owned options, so that we will tell you, here are companies that we own in our community. We will also tell you, if there's not a Black-owned option, here is the Black-friendly option. Mm-hmm. And those will be organizations and companies that we know hire African-Americans, have African-Americans in their leadership, or spending money with nonprofits from within our communities, or giving back to our communities. We want to set the criteria that African-Americans consider to be priorities, and we will tell African-Americans, here are companies that we feel, based upon our criteria, that understand and are committed to our communities, and this is where we want to spend our money with these firms. We say that we vote each and every day with our dollars, but we don't know exactly where to spend those dollars or who to vote for or who to spend those dollars with. Most African-Americans are looking how to participate, how to make a movement, and we say we can do that with our dollars. And we will lay out in July, here are the companies, here are the businesses that we recommend. So we're not saying anything negative or bad about anybody, but we're saying here are the Black-friendly organizations or the Black-owned companies that we were asking people to spend their money with. We feel that that will change the conversation going forward. We know that economic conversations around the country are happening in places that we are not even involved in. But we want to make sure that our people are very knowledgeable and have a clear understanding of how and who to spend their money with.
I like it. Looking forward to that report in July. Ron Busby of the U.S. Black Chambers, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.